This episode of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura, and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me.
Hey.
And today, we are excited because we are giving a repurposed talk that we had actually given earlier this spring at the Proclaim Truth Conference in Dallas, Texas. So we talked about the ministry of motherhood at the conference, and that's kind of what we want to talk about today. Just how can we serve our children? And there's kind of that first level of needs of the obvious ones, but then there's that second level of really meeting the needs of their heart. And so that's kind of what we want to discuss here today, because ministry is hard. You know, both of these types of ministry are really hard, but let's start with maybe defining the word ministry.
Yeah, I think often when we hear the word ministry, we're speaking in terms of a vocation through our local church or maybe through kind of a nonprofit organization and, oh, you're in women's ministry or, oh, you're a Bible study leader. Or maybe we use that term to talk about somebody who's a pastor. But really the concept of ministry in the Bible is more of a broad term used to describe, you know, this is the work and the service mm-hmm. we do for God. And there are a few types of ministry that are more of an office, but overall, this is the service we do for Christ because he is of a superior rank and we are carrying out his mission. We're kind of the boots on the ground, per se. Yes, this is service for God, you know, in our community, in our local church, in our workplace, and all the different spheres of influence we have in the world. But we also have work to do for the Lord in our homes with the little neighbors that are around us that we're hopefully raising up to know and love him. So that's kind of what we're honing in on today.
Yeah, and something that Emily and I have discussed just a lot, especially in the past few months, is this just recognition that ministry, both the ministry that you do for your children and then you do for other people, those things look a lot of different ways, and it's going to be really individual, and that we have all been called to do ministry. Like, that is kind of a non-negotiable, but how that looks really depends so much on, you know, if you work outside the home, if you work part-time, maybe even in the home, if you're full-time stay at home, if you're a single mom, there's just so many ways that this looks. And I think that it's up to you as an individual. I mean, obviously working in community with other people to like really sort out how that looks. So the stuff we're giving today isn't like a prescription for how ministry should look. So we just kind of want to say that caveat at first and recognize that it's hard to kind of figure this out.
Yeah, because in ministry, whenever we're, you know, wanting to do the work of God and serve others, we're also kind of giving of ourselves to them. And so let's start with just this question, like, what does a mom need in order to do ministry? First and foremost, I mean, this seems like an obvious point, but it's really important that we don't gloss over it. We are unable to truly serve and bear fruit for the kingdom of God unless we have died to ourselves and have taken up Christ's mission.
And Emily and I sort of joke that motherhood brings 1,000 tiny deaths. So, you know, it's one of those things that we're not just dying to self one time, that moment or the process of conversion when we came to life in Christ, but also every single day is a process of growth for us. And we have these decision points where we can either say, hey, I'm going to choose the way of the Lord, the way of God, or I'm going to kind of choose my own path and what my natural sinful desires want to go after. And so these are the points that we have where we can choose ministry and service unto God, or we can choose that service unto self.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so to have this ministry in motherhood, to be able to really minister to our families well, we kind of put it into two buckets for today's show. One thought is that we kind of need to be equipped, and then the other idea is that we need to obey. And we're going to dig into those a little bit, but the reason why we have this process or this ongoing conversion is that we grow in motherhood. You know, we're not just magically, you know, you have your first child and like suddenly you are the best mom in the universe. Like, there is a lot of growth to be done, and something that I love, and I have been clinging to this passage for the past few weeks. As 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul is talking to Timothy and just sharing like godly character traits and qualities to pursue. And he says to Timothy, practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. And that all may see your progress piece is like, it's just like pointing out that like we don't have it all together, and that your process of sanctification and growth towards godliness is helpful to others. Like it's okay for others to see that like you don't have it all together. And that's very much like motherhood is that you aren't perfect at it today, and it's okay. Like it is a chance for other people to be encouraged and edified, and even yourself to say, man, I'm a lot different than I was even last year. And praise God for that work in my life.
Yeah. So building on that equipping piece, you know, how do we get trained for the work of ministry? Because it doesn't just happen overnight. And I think we all know that for other ministries, right? You're going to go lead a Bible study. You know, I have to get trained and I have to practice this, and I'm not going to be as good at it, you know, on the first time as I am on the 60th time that I lead the Bible study. So in motherhood, we really need to do the proactive things. We need the spiritual disciplines. We need to be reading the Bible and really understanding it rightly. Praying, being involved in our local church, remembering the gospel, memorizing scripture. So all of these little deposits that we're putting in, we're shaping our thinking, we're tuning our hearts to the word of God, so that whenever we are in our moment where we need to die that death 100 times a day, we know what it looks like to obey. We know what we need to remember.
Right. So in that obedience piece, I mean, this is those chance to make the right decision where we can say, I am going to live unto God and his word and what I've learned during that equipping stage. Or we can say, nope, I'm going to go my own way and I'm going to give in to my natural sinful inclinations. And so these are the pieces where we're just living by faith day in and day out. And these are those 1 million tiny moments that we are saying for you to have a chance to die to self and choose Christ instead.
So now we're going to transition a little bit into not what does a mom need to do ministry, but what does a mom do in ministry? And as we were thinking through this, there's of course so many things that we do to serve God and love our children, but we wanted to break it into two buckets again. And the first is that we serve our children. So what we mean by that is that we're meeting their tangible, physical needs. This is all of the stuff that we can probably rattle off
three meals a day, taking them to school, helping them get their homework done,
making sure they get to their well checks,
changing their diaper, buying them clothes.
Yeah. All of those things. They're automatic. I mean, I think most moms are like, oh, yep, I see that. I'm going to do it. And we want to note that this is a super valid aspect of our ministry, because God makes us as physical bodies and, you know, heart and soul, and God provides for our bodily needs. And it's kind of a building block or a foundation upon which then he can kind of woo us at the heart level as well. And I think we see Jesus meeting physical needs. I mean, he's healing a withered hand. He's feeding the 5,000 with bread and fish. So does he go beyond that? Yes, we'll get to that in a minute. But it's definitely a mercy to meet our children's physical, tangible needs, because often they can't meet them for themselves.
Yeah. And the other piece of that is seeing our children. So this is meeting their deeper needs, going beyond just the physical needs of the body, and instead really diving into the heart and just their spiritual status, their emotions, all of those kind of things. And this is honestly, like, for me at least, way harder. And it requires a lot more of who I am, of slowing down. It's this active and passive passing on of Christ. So there's both kind of the verbal and I'm being intentional pieces. And those are maybe a little easier for me because I'm so verbal. But then there's also that passive of modeling and displaying Christ-like qualities. And I'll be honest, that's a lot harder for myself.
Yeah, we wanted to pop through how we kind of model Jesus to our children by just looking at what he did in his ministry. He was here on earth. And so one thing is that we want to spend time with our children. And when we look at the life of Christ, he spent so much time with his disciples. I mean, they did life together and they were eating together, sleeping together, you know, doing work together, teaching. And I think that's something motherhood, at whatever level this means for your life and the way God is orchestrating things, it requires our physical presence and an ongoing relationship of living life alongside our children.
Yeah, and another one we see from the life of Christ is just modeling what it really means to live by faith and in daily dependence on the Father. And I love that we see Jesus, the God-man, the King of the universe, still living in dependence on God. He went away, and when the crowds were clamoring and calling to him and saying, I need you, I need you, I need you, he still said, no, I'm going to go, and I'm going to, he would like disappear. And mm-hmm. he would go spend time with God, praying to him and talking with him and asking for help. And so this is that equipping piece that we were talking about, where it's investing in your own faith. And as moms, like, we know that often you got little kids around, you're maybe not totally solo on a mountainside, but there's still like an importance that Jesus modeled to us of saying, I'm going to go and I'm going to speak to the Father and I'm going to pour out my cares and concerns to him. That allows you to continue in ministry.
Another thing we see in the life of Christ that we can model in motherhood is just giving grace to our children when they fail and reconciling that relationship. So one way we see this in the life of Christ is his disciple Peter was basically like, I'll die for you, Jesus. And he definitely was like, I won't deny you, you know, I won't forsake you. But we know that he does. He denies even knowing Christ. And then when Jesus is risen from the dead and he comes back and sees Peter again on the shore, Jesus extends grace and forgiveness to him. And Peter repents and they have this great exchange. And Jesus says, oh, if you love me, feed my sheep. And so I think we can model this to our kids by saying, hey, we know our kids are not going to have fully arrived. They're works in progress. And our expectation should be that they're going to forsake our instructions. They're going to be slow to obey. They're going to mess up and do things wrong. But we can extend opportunities for reconciliation and trying again and knowing that, yeah, we all need Jesus.
Yeah, another one is just being attentive to them and listening and asking good questions. So a story that I love from Matthew 16, Jesus and his disciples are talking about who people thought he was, like, oh, he's a prophet, or you're John the Baptist, or all these different things. And then Jesus goes a little bit deeper and he says, but who do you say that I am? And he's penetrating a little bit deeper and making the disciples think a little bit harder about their answer. And we can model that to our own children as, you know, we're talking with them and having great conversations. And then we hear something, I think sometimes we have like a little red flag go off and it can be easy to say, oh, I'm tired. I don't want to dig into that. Or I don't really know what to say. I don't feel equipped with the right words to talk with them about that. Like my son has been asking about death and, you know, he's been asking about what hell is and all these like harder mm-hmm. questions. And I think one thing that's great is being willing to dig into those. My kids are young yet. They are 5 and under. And one thing I've really appreciated is that as they are really digging, being willing to practice those questions, because mm-hmm. often they don't remember the answer that I gave. And so I am trying to be as theologically sound and correct and like give them what's age appropriate. But like, these are great chances for you to practice how to answer harder questions and not shy away from maybe something that is more difficult to answer. But at the same time, there's this other side of it that says knowing when not to speak, because kids will get exasperated with you if you're like over spiritualizing everything. So it's definitely a fine balance. I think it's just a great way to model Christ is to say, let's just go a level deeper and talk about these things and have open communication.
Right. It's kind of like, I see that you have a need for a snack, but I'm also aware that you have a need for some self-control. Mm. And we're going to press into that a little bit here.
Good mama.
Another thing is, you know, praying for our children and with them. So we see this in the life of Jesus where he prays the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, or in the garden before he goes to the cross, he's praying and he's asking his disciples to pray alongside him. So I say it's simple, but it's not easy, that we want to bring our kids alongside us in prayer.
Yeah. Another one is just being aware of your kids' personality and their maybe sinful tendencies, even like worldly enticements. And so the only example I could really think of this was kind of Peter and Jesus again, where Jesus warns Peter that, hey, you're going to deny me 3 times. Like, it's going to happen, Peter. And Peter's like, no, it's not.
Yeah, because he was like so hasty and like doing things sometimes. You're so like, impulsive. He's a little bit more impulsive. Yeah,
totally. And so Jesus warns him of that. And we know, as we discussed before, that, yep, that's exactly what Peter did. And Jesus just knew. He knew Peter's natural tendencies. And we can do that with our own kids and to try to warn them and to care for them, especially because many of you who are listening have really young children, thinking about like, okay, how can I protect them? I know that my child is a natural leader. I know that my child is a natural follower. So, you know, how do I talk with my child as they're with their peers and give them wise counsel there? Or I don't know, what else, Emily? Maybe they're prone to, you know, being anger. And so mm-hmm. you're going to kind of focus in on yeah. that. I think sometimes it's even picking a character trait in your child and saying, here's some strengths, here's some weaknesses, and talk with your husband and see how can we foster these great qualities and then also like help them choose godliness in the midst of their sin.
Mm-hmm. Another one is just being willing to affirm them and encourage them. This is something Jesus did. In Luke 10, he affirms that Mary has chosen the good portion. So remember, this was when Mary and Martha were in their house and Mary sits at Jesus's feet and he acknowledges, yes, you are keeping your eyes on the right thing. And so there are a lot of those examples of when Jesus calls out just something that is honoring. I mean, even the anointing of the oil mm-hmm. of saying
publicly,
yes.
he does it too. Yes, like not publicly. Just, you know, hidden. The last one that we have is just teaching the truth about scriptures to our children. This is that active passing on of our faith. And we see in Luke 24, you know, Jesus meets the two people on the road and he interpreted to them the scriptures, all the things concerning himself. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we just see an act of teaching that Jesus did. And that's something that we can do. We're actually, Emily and I are going to post a video to Instagram stories today.
Or this week.
This week. And we want to share with you guys some of the resources that we use. It's going to have lots of different options and ideas in there. Of course, we don't want this to incite guilt for you. We want this to feel like, okay, like I know I can pick one thing off this list to do today, because there are a million ways to do intentional teaching. And you can look at some past shows for lots of ideas. You can head to our show notes today. So we feel like this is a really big one with lots of options, but it doesn't mean you need to do all of the options.
Right. And we just want to end here by saying, you know, don't feel pressure to think that in order to serve your kids and see your kids and do all this, that you have to like spend all this money and have all these fancy resources either. Yeah. That we can just simply disciple and see and serve the needs of our children and minister to them by having a relationship with the Lord, reading his word, being involved in local church, and passing that along to them and reading the Bible with
all
them.
All you need is the Bible.
Like it can be that basic, and that's a wonderful thing. There is nothing wrong with that. So again, you can go to our website, risenmotherhood.com, to see all of the resources that we recommend, but don't get overwhelmed by that. And if you want to find out more, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter @risenmotherhood. We'll be sharing more about this topic this week.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, guys.